Philippians chapter 3. I want you to look with me in basically two verses of Scripture. Would you go with Philippians chapter 3? Would you turn there in your Bible? We have come to the final Sunday of a given calendar year. Fact of the year 2019. You know, that's an important time for a lot of people. They like to make resolutions. Other people takes the attitude, let's just wait and see what happens. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord lets us live one more week, we will have already entered into a new calendar year, one that's never been before. And I just wonder in your own heart, how do you face the coming of a new year, of a new week, of a new day? We have, in my estimation, here's how I look at it, I see it to be a new opportunity. I see it to be a new opportunity, maybe with challenges. As my physician so humbly and sweetly said, Pastor, you're not as young as you was one time. And I said, yes, sir. What is that called? That's called reality. And you see, when you won't face reality in all the facets of life, you're kidding yourself. And we're kidding ourselves to think that we will enter a new year and things will be better or different unless we find out what the apostle had to say in this particular passage of Scripture. It's what I call committed for the long haul. I think Paul was committed in his Christian experience for the long haul. I think we're supposed to be committed for the long haul. He said to a younger Timothy on an occasion, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to do it in season. I want you to do it out of season. I want you to do it when it's convenient. I want you to do it when it's not. I want you to do it when it's easy. I want you to do it when it's hard. I want you to do it when it seems profitable. I want you to do it when it seems to be the dumbest thing you could do. I want you just to be faithful. And so when we come into this third chapter of Philippians 3, he makes this statement that we many times don't deal with in the 10th verse. When he says, speaking of himself now, before the Lord Jesus, he said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, as far as I can tell, every child of God I ever knew wanted to know Christ in that enormous power of his resurrection. Don't you want to know him in that? Don't we want to see that in our lives and in the various aspects of our life? But he also said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, if we're going to know him in the power of his resurrection, we have to know him in the fellowship of suffering. I don't know about you, but I just don't particularly like suffering. But according to the Scripture, it's something that comes in life to everybody. And here's what he says regarding the two, being made conformable unto his death. What does that really refer to? That God is in the process of conforming you and me into the image, into the likeness of his own death. Now, what was the likeness of his death? It was that he gave up his will to do the will of the Father. Jesus is not remembered this morning because he did his will. He's remembered this morning because he did the will of his Father. Then he said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And in the New Testament, the word if many times means since I might or I will attain to the resurrection of the dead, that's the ultimate victory that is ours. Death has no dominion over us. And he said, here's what I want you to know for right now, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. I don't want you to think I've arrived. Neither were already perfect, that is complete. I'm not yet complete. Anybody else in here feel that way? I'm not complete either. But I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. In other words, the Lord has saved me for a purpose, and I want to gain in that purpose everything God has planned for which he first chose me and called me unto the fellowship of his Son. And here's what he says, verse 13. Brethren, I count not, now pause. Did he say brethren? And if we find brethren in the Bible, is that saved people or lost people? save people. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I want to dissect that one verse primarily as we look at verse 13. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not yet grasped completely that purpose. So, if we haven't grasped it completely, number one, admit you have room for improvement. According to the scriptures, the Christian life is equated to a physical race. It is sometimes the metaphor used is that of running a race. And Christians are in a race. It's not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. Our past accomplishments must not become a hindrance. Sometimes you look back at what you used to do and think you've done it, but self cannot be the emphasis. Christ has to be the emphasis of why I live. We got to think about the prize. The prize is the winning that in totality what Christ wanted from us. And constant effort in any race is required. If you ever ran track at all, even in PE, there was never a moment if you thought you was going to win, you can't not give effort. You got to give your effort all the way around the track. And you've always got to think about there's a victory to be had if I win. And it doesn't matter if I won yesterday at something, I'm in the race now. And so I must admit that I have room for improvement. I want this to be as simple that any of the teens can understand this. Do you have any room for improvement today? Well, if you do, you and God need to know what that is. Brother Wayne doesn't need to know that. But you and God need to know that. And if you have room for improvement, then nail it down right now what that is. And then ask yourself the question, what am I going to do about it? Because that leads us to number two. This one thing I do. You see that in verse 13? After he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, he said, but this one thing I do. That phrase means there must be a resolve to do something to improve. Paul didn't say, I count not myself to have apprehended, period, blank page. He said, this one thing I do. There is a resolve in me to do something. There is a firm determination that I'm going to do something. Now, evaluation of your current race is required. I have to be honest about where I am with the race. I got to be honest about myself. I got to be honest about my pride. I've got to be honest about my tendencies and my weaknesses. If you're prone to want to quit, the Lord already knows that. But if you will admit that and tell that to the Lord, you can become strengthened out of that. You may be like an uncle they told me I had on one occasion. Bless his heart, as a child, he was lazy. And they made all the kids pick cotton. And they just couldn't keep this one uncle of mine picking cotton to save his life. And when they scolded him real good, he cried and said, every time I bend over, I want to sit down. Well, are you that way? Every time it requires extra effort, you want to sit down? Could it be that some of us need to say, Lord, I've lost my motivation? Could it be that we can't be honest about, Lord, I have given you in my past a better performance that I'm giving you now? Is it possible today that there's been a day in our past when we really were more focused on serving God and giving God the very best we had? You see, I may not can give to God today the same length of endurance as an older man I gave him as a young man, but I tell you what I can give him today, just like I gave him when I was 20 years of age, and that is I can give him 100% of what I have. God never wants anything except your all. And if you give him your all, you're on good grounds for God to bless you. So evaluate your current race. Evaluate your performance. Be honest with yourself about your commitment. Remember that dedication is mandatory. It must be. We have to be dedicated if we're going to improve. So, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do. Look at the next phrase. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, if we're going to leave those things which are behind, he's saying leave the past in the past. If you can hear the heart of God at this point out of this text, it can help your life. So many people cannot go forward because they cannot let go of the past. Folks, your old life, your mess-ups, not only can drain you, but they will drain you if you don't let them stay in the past. Move on. Your previous failures can and will discourage you if you don't leave them in the past. An accusing spirit will always try to defeat you. That's why he is an accusing spirit. And you cannot permit that to happen. That is in the past. If you have repented of your past, then it is in your, say it with me, past. And so there's a difference in what you once were and what you currently are if you have repented of your past. Now, if you haven't repented of your past, you are currently what you've been. But if you have repented of your past, God has forgiven that. And you must leave the past in the past, forgetting those things which are behind. Do you bring up stuff in the past? Do you live in the past? That's a dangerous thing to do. I've known preachers that couldn't move on with their church because they couldn't quit talking about the past. Some of them remembered a glory in the past that never existed, and some of them talked about problems in the past that would have long ago smothered and died if they had not kept resurrecting them and making them part of the present. My Lord, folks, if you had a bad chapter in your marriage, don't keep bringing it up. It doesn't make sense. So we're going to admit we have room for improvement. We're going to resolve to do something to improve. We're going to leave our past in the past. Now notice the final phrase in verse 13. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. The word reach is a word that carries with it the idea of stretching. Stretching forth unto those things which are before. It means to sincerely set and seek a new goal or a proper goal. Do you think about what you'd like for the Lord to do? Do you pray about those things? I've often prayed to the Lord, Lord, I don't want ambition. I've watched ambition destroy many a person. I don't want ambition to destroy me, but I don't want to live without some. You want to receive and have and become everything God wants to give you, and everything God wants you to receive and everything God wants you to become, you want to become that, do you not? Well, then I want to sincerely set and seek a new goal. As I think about that, to set and seek a new goal will demand all efforts. If I'm going to stretch forth to those things which are before, there's a brand new year coming up in front of you. Are you prepared to stretch forth for what's there? It will demand all your effort, but anything worthwhile always does. Direction must be forward, not backward. We're talking about stretching forth, not stretching back. And distractions not dealt with will guarantee our defeat. That is probably in the top two or three tools that the enemy uses to try to destroy each of us is just distract us. You get a guy or gal running track and you let them get focused, and it won't matter who hoots and who hollers and whatever else happens, they have their eye on the goal, and they refuse to be distracted. Folks, you say, Pastor, what can distract you? Anything you can imagine can distract you. Bad things can distract you. Sometimes good things can distract you. But you don't want to be distracted from the main thing. See, that's the main thing, is to become that which Christ wants you to become. You want him to apprehend who's apprehended you. You want to apprehend the totality of what it is he wants to do with your life and your heart. And that's why he said in verse 14, now I press toward the mark. I am straining toward looking down the white line. At the end, there is a white post there. That is the end mark. I am pressing toward the mark for the prize. In a athletic event, it would be a garland of some sort. Might be evergreen, could be made of fruit leaves from a fruit tree. It could be any number of ways and items that they would have used to have made a garland with. But he said, I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a high calling. And the high calling is that God has placed his heart of affection on you. He has desired you. He has drawn you by his precious love. He has proven his love as he poured out that love at Calvary. By the work of his Spirit, he has regenerated your dead heart unto life everlasting. He has put his life inside of you. He has gifted you. He's given you a purpose for which to live. Why, when you consider what he did to you initially, would you not want to stop you if you were the devil working against God's plan and purpose? Well, of course you would. So today, we've got to be committed for the long haul. The best way for the Morningside Baptist Church to do that corporately as a church, to reach families for the future, is to be sure that Wayne Robertson understands that I can't be that for the rest of the church, but I've got to be concerned to be that as one runner in the race. And I've got to give him my best. I got to count myself as not to have apprehended. So I have room for improvement. I've got to come to the place that I say, this one thing I do, I've got to resolve to do something to improve. And I've got to forget the things that's in the past, even the good things. I can't live on yesterday's good things. God taught the Israelites, you can't live on manna that fell yesterday. You've got to trust him for manna today. So I can't live on even the good things of yesterday, and I sure don't want to remember the things that's not good from yesterday. So I do want to sincerely set and seek a new goal so that I might do what verse 14 says, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I try to bring this message to a conclusion, listen to me. I know people through the years whose names have been on church rolls, but they've really never been a part of the true race for reasons I will never be able to explain. They claim the name of Christ, but seldom ever was their shoulder to the wheel, seldom ever was their uniform being worn, seldom did they ever fly the flag. Seldom did they ever raise a banner. Everyone talked about how much they were blessed by the banners in the Christmas program. Do you understand that that's scriptural to raise the banner? Do you understand that in the scripture the banner was the standard that was held before the people not to forget? This is our standard. And it's left up to all of God's children to wear the uniform, to wave the flag, to raise the banner. To give of ourselves. My journey, I don't think, is over yet. I don't know how much more journey I have, but I'll tell you one thing. I may be in my spiritual journey like my friend Bob Boland, the pitch baseball for San Francisco Giants, says. Bob's in his 80s now, and he'll grin and say, I can throw a baseball as hard as I ever did. He said, and it don't travel as fast as it did, but I throw it as hard as I ever did. Folks, I may not make the speed I once made, but I'm planning to throw the ball as hard as I can throw it. I want to give him all I got because, you see, I'll be the better because I'm in the race and I know why I'm running and I know that his name is worthy of it. Are you in the race today? Anyone can be in the race by basically doing two things. First of all, receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. And then secondly, saying to him, if he's your Savior and Lord, Father, I don't want to just be one that has a uniform at home in the closet. I want to wear the uniform. I don't want my flag stood up in the corner somewhere at the house. I want to fly the flag. Lord, I don't want there to just be a banner at church. I want my life to be a banner that is raised as a standard. I want others to see you in me, and collectively together, let's continue the journey and be in it for the long haul. Father in heaven, I pray on this Lord's Day morning that God the Holy Spirit will do a work of grace in our hearts. Not just a grace for a new year, but a grace for a new afternoon, a new Sunday afternoon, different than Sunday afternoons we've experienced in the past. A brand new Sunday evening, a brand new Monday morning, a brand new week, and then, Lord, facing a new year as we seek to give ourselves to that which you've apprehended us for. Would you, O God, as only you can do by your Spirit, would you apply and speak and deal and redeem and release and move and motivate and transform and challenge the heart of each person? Lord, we look forward to our coming days together and pray that you will lead us. And as you lead us, we will do our best to follow. We will do our best to obey. Thank you for letting us be in the race. Bless those today who may not know you that need to be saved. May in this moment the tenderness of the work of the Spirit of God cause that heart to want to just say to you, Lord, I have sinned against you. I want forgiveness from my sin, and I ask you now, O God, to forgive me. Come into my heart, cleanse me and save me in Jesus' name. Lord, have your way in every heart today, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Would you stand with your pastor, please? This is our hymn of invitation. The altar is...